from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, it's our annual summer reading show. From light beach reads to serious political tomes, we're going to open the phone lines to get your picks. Tell us, what's the best book you've read so far this year? You can call us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. And you can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Or you can email book picks, send them to forum at kqed.org. We'll also hear from Bay Area booksellers about what's popular at their stores and the new works of fiction and nonfiction they're excited about. And that's all next, after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. It's that time of year. Newspapers, libraries, and book critics are coming out with their summer reading lists. And in this hour, we want to hear from you. What was your favorite book of 2019 and why? And what's on your list of must-reads for the summer? We're opening our phone lines to get your recommendations. And we'll also hear from three local booksellers throughout the Bay Area about what's popular among readers and what they're recommending. And joining us first is Dan Stone. He's co-owner of North Light. They're located in Oakland. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And let me begin with the fact that there are recommendations in your bookstore that have come from different authors, I noticed. And fun, one we had on recently, Pico Iyer, recommended George Saunders' novel, Lincoln and the Bardo, and also, I think, didn't he recommend something else? What am I trying to think of here?
So Pico did a shelf for us. The way our store's set up, you know, any small store like ours, somebody basically has to curate the shelves, and typically that's done by the proprietors. My partner and I wanted to do it a little bit differently, so we called up a bunch of our favorite musicians, writers, and artists and asked them to pick the books for us. So Pico did a shelf for us. Saunders actually did one as well, basically picking, you know, 20 or so favorite books, sometimes pinned to a certain genre and sometimes just favorite books, and writing a little blurb about why he or she, selected each book.
That's a swell idea. Can you determine how much it influences your customers?
Well, you know, the whole experience of coming into the store is so much different than walking into a regular bookstore. Like, you don't walk in here and say, you know, I need to find The Great Gatsby because I have a paper due, although I think Tobias Wolff did pick The Great Gatsby for his shelf, actually. But instead, it's more of a process of discovery where you walk in and, you know, there's a shelf by Patti Smith. So you would pick up, you know, this Murakami novel that she specifically recommended for the store. So it sort of adds a layer of connection and intimacy to the experience of finding and reading that book.
Well, what are you discovering among your customers in terms of what they want to know about or buy at this point?
Well, so, I mean, just people are in here browsing all day because you pick a book up and, you know, like one of my favorite recommendations was Robert Pinsky, the former U.S. Poet Laureate, did a shelf for us. And it's not all poetry. He's got some fiction in there as well. And one of his picks was Ulysses, which a lot of people wouldn't think of Ulysses as kind of light, fun summer reading that you'd bring to the beach, but his recommendation might change minds. He says, my advice, open it at random and read it like a joke book or a book of poetry. Ignore literary criticism, etc. This book is fun. The best writing I know about the lower class setting I grew up in on the Jersey Shore. So the experience of coming in is you find that book, you know, somebody specifically has recommended it to you with a little blurb about why the book is recommended, and it just adds that level. So we find a lot of customers coming in and browsing and discovering books either that they have, you know, that they know about, or that they haven't read in a long time, or they've been meaning to read, and then obviously some new things they've never heard of, and usually walk out with something recommended.
You're going to have to clarify to me, Pinsky saying somehow Ulysses is related to the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, it reminds him of his childhood on the Jersey Shore when he reads that book, yeah.
Strange. Makes me think of the old sod in Ireland, mainly. We're going to get some of our callers in here recommending books, and Jose is first. Jose from San Jose. Hi, Sip. You're on the air.
How are you doing? My book is The Perfectionist. The whole title is The Perfectionist, How Precision Engineers Created the Modern World. It's written by Simon Winchester. I think it's a fascinating book. Well, I'm an engineer, but it's very well written. It's not a difficult read in terms of its technical level, but it's about the development of precision, but it really talks about the development of technology in general, and more importantly, what technology can do and what its limitations are. I think it's a fascinating book because technology is, to a large degree, where we're at today and where we'll be in the future if we're still around. So I think it's a fascinating read.
And you can always rely on Simon Winchester. He's been on this program a number of times, and any book he does has my imprimatur on it. Thank you, Jose, for that. Good to hear from you. We'll hear from as many of you as we can over the course of this hour. Let me go next to the North Bay, San Rafael. Larry, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. My recommendation is Rachel Kushner's novel, The Mars Room. It came out, I believe, in mid-2018. I describe it as kind of a grittier version of Orange is the New Black. It details the minutiae of life in California State's women's prison in the Central Valley, and the backstories of the inmates who are caught in seemingly endless cycles of poverty and the judicial system.
Well, thank you so much for that, Larry. Rachel Kushner is another writer who has received a great deal of acclaim, and appreciate hearing from you. And Dan Stone, first two recommendations here, Simon Winchester, Rachel Kushner, any thoughts?
Well, terrific recommendations. My dad's actually an engineer also, so that Simon Winchester book definitely speaks to me. I haven't read it yet, but I'll put it on my list. And that Kushner novel we do have here, I'm actually holding it in my hand right now. It's one I've also had on my list. I mean, one of the fun things about the way we've done the store here at our bar is you end up with, 400 books that just suddenly landed on your reading list, and we do have one shelf of new releases, which the Kushner book is part of that. So we keep fresh stock moving through that. But I've been wanting to read The Mars Room, and that's a popular book for us here. And,
as they say on the bumper sticker, too many books, not enough time. But you also, I noticed one of the recommendations that came out of your bookstore was The Hungry Ear, which is sort of poetry, food, and drink all in one volume.
Yeah, the poet Kevin Young edited this, and this anthology was selected for our store by Samin Nosrat, who lives here in the neighborhood a couple blocks away and comes in and hangs out here now and then. Obviously, Samin is just amazing, the author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and the host of the Netflix series. So she did a shelf for us that's called For Cooks and Eaters. About half of them are cookbooks, and the other half are just books about food, and this was one she picked. She wrote in her blurb about it, I thumb through this collection of poems every time I need a little inspiration, whether in my writing or my cooking. And it's a really handsome anthology of, looks like a couple hundred poems that are split into categories. Some of them are about food, some are about drink, some are about the communal experience of dining. Everybody from Rita Dove to William Carlos Williams to Ginsberg, Gertrude Stein, Frost, Amy Lowell. I mean, it's really a fantastic book.
Well, I'm waiting for you to ask me to do a shelf for you. I'd be glad to do that if the time comes.
Oh, let's talk off air. That's a great idea.
Let me get some more callers on in the meantime. We've got Judy next. Judy, join us.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to tell you about a book I've just started that I'm really looking forward to finishing, which is called Shadow War. And it was reviewed on KQED, and it's basically about how the true national security existential threat to the United States comes from China and Russia, cyber war, basically, and cyber espionage.
Thank you for that recommendation. That's Judy in Albany, and I appreciate her call, and we'll go to another caller, and that's James in San Francisco. James, welcome. Whoops, no, I went to Nancy in Berkeley. I'm sorry. Nancy, and you got Jacqueline Winspear, whom we know from Forum. Hi.
Yes, it's not the best book I read all year, but since we're talking about summer reading, it's her latest Maisie Dobbs book, and I think it's one of her best. I was up till 2 o'clock a couple nights because I couldn't put it down, and it's called The American Agent, and her books are always good, and this one is really, really good. And for summer reading, I would recommend it.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I'm looking at a tweet here from Debbie. And many of the books that are being recommended traditionally are the books that were featured, of course, on the Forum program. And she's talking about one that was. It's She says every family should buy and read A Loud Enemy Child, the story of Norman Mineta, a boy imprisoned in a Japanese-American internment camp during World War II by Andrea Warren, the terrific biography of local hero and airport Norman Yoshio Mineta. Actually, we had Congressman Mineta on and referenced that biography, and let's get some more callers and their recommendations. We go next to James. James, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. It's my pleasure and honor to be with you. I've been a fan of your show for a long time, Mr.
Thank you for
my book is tried and true. It's been around since the mid-1930s, and it's been read by millions of people and translated into innumerable number of languages, and that's the good old big book, and that's Alcoholics Anonymous.
Were you a member? You're not even supposed to tell me if I ask
am.
You, right? You are, okay.
I am a member. I finally achieved sobriety this year after many years of trying. And I've always tried without the help of the big book of the book. And,
but the book helps, huh?
Achieve it.
Yeah.
The book does help. And I'm not here to thump the Bible, so to speak. But I think some problems of addiction in our society right now, I think it's topical as well. I mean, they're talking about, decriminalizing mushrooms in Oakland and other hallucinogens, which I'm okay with. But given the problems of addiction in our country, even if it's just a read to educate yourself, I find it to be a valuable resource. And
Well, thank you for that, James, and thank you for the kind comments, too. I appreciate hearing from you, and stay sober, please. Bob writes, the best book I've read so far this year is White Tears by Hari Kunzru, a book that explores the complex relationship between African-American music and the white listeners who love it and want to claim ownership of it by way of a truly gripping ghost story. Let me go back, Dan Stone, to you, and just a curious question. You know, you see these lists of best reading in the summer in the Washington Post, the New York Times, even in the Guardian. I've been looking at them. How much are the people who come into your bookstore influenced by those lists, if at all?
Yeah, that's a tough question for me to answer just because our store is set up in such a unique way. As I said, we typically don't have people walking and knowing what they want. It's more people walking.
Browsers, yeah.
Wanting to find something that unexpected. Mm-hmm. To walk out with, so we get, you know, fewer people that walk in here with that purpose to find that book, which is makes it a lot of fun. You know, we can arrange the store in a way where they discover things they hadn't thought they would. Like one other book I should mention, which this book is just really remarkable. I'd never heard of this, but this is another pick by Samin Nosrat. It's a cookbook created by Andy Warhol and a woman named Susie Frankfurt in, I believe, the mid-50s. Really, it was maybe before Warhol became the Warhol we all know. And they created it almost as a joke for their friends in New York. Susie wrote the recipes, Warhol illustrated them, and Warhol's mother did all the original lettering on each page. And it's this beautiful large-format book that's really hard to find. I mean, I think I found three or four copies of it and bought all of them to have here in the store. But there are, most of the recipes are things like, you know, a recipe for hard-boiled eggs or gefilte fighting fish, things like that, chocolate balls and Chambord. I mean, very, very comic and really beautifully put together.
Do you know where the recipes came from? Were they, for example, from Warhol's mother or what?
No, I think Susie Frankfurt, who actually wrote the text for it, from what I understand, she and Warhol created the recipes as jokes for their friends. They had Warhol's mother do the lettering, but I think Susie Frankfurt herself actually wrote the text for them. And it's a really beautiful book.
Oh, there's also a great Warhol exhibit at the MoMA, which
featured
here on Forum, and I would recommend. So one more quick question, Dan. You have more men or women, or what's the gender and breakup in your store?
It's really split evenly. So in terms of the curators, I mean, we've got a shelf by a lot of the people that did shelves for us are local. So Rebecca Solnit did one. She titled her shelf Library of Power and Resistance, which includes books about Ella Baker and, you know, Nelson Mandela's autobiography, Václav Havel's book. We've got, like I said, the Patti Smith shelf. Ayelet Waldman did a shelf for us of all female fiction writers. Her husband, Michael Chabon, did a shelf for us. Another husband-wife team is Daniel Handler, who writes the Lemony Snicket books. and his wife Lisa Brown, who's a great illustrator and author, did a shelf of picture books and graphic novels. The Oakland writer Kim Adonizio, we have a shelf where about we rotate the stock through because we only have room for about 18 curators at a time. So there's typically, you know, three or four that we have in the back room that we bring out and work them into the rotation now and then to keep it all fresh.
Well, stay fresh, and thank you so much for joining us, Dan Stone.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
That's
real
Dan,
pleasure.
Dan Stone, co-owner of Northlight Books, located in Oakland. Let's get some more recommendations from you, our listeners. Carl, good morning. You're on.
Good morning. Yes, this may seem a bit obscure, but it's called Dark Tide, and it's about the Great Boston Molasses Flood of 2019. I believe it's Stephen Polio, and it almost reads like a thriller because he lays out the socioeconomic conditions of all the people who were somehow touched by the flood. And it was just reissued in a 100th anniversary edition with additional material in it.
I'm not even familiar. What is the Great Molasses Flood?
Well,
is that literally a molasses flood?
Literally a million-gallon molasses tank in the north end of Boston, which was badly constructed. It was for making industrial alcohol, gave way and leveled much of the north end, pushed buildings off their foundations, killed 20 or 30 people, a couple hundred horses. It said for 50 years after that, you could still smell the molasses around the north end.
Oh, my goodness. And the book really tells the story well, huh?
Yeah. It's wonderful. It covers all the people who were involved and how they lived. The political power, for instance, of the Italians, who suffered most of the damage, versus the Irish. Just absolutely, it's a gripping read.
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate very much your calling that in. And here's a tweet from Maya, who says, Miracle Creek by Angie Kim is my top book so far this year. Blown away by her storytelling chops. The pacing is spot on, and I love the characters. My cousin has autism, a big theme of the book, and it helped me understand him in a new way. That book has gotten some real raves, by the way. Another listener says, Spying on the South by Tony Horwitz, who passed away in May of this year. I'm halfway through. It's a compelling read following Frederick Law Olmsted's mid-19th century route. Horwitz goes deep into Southern culture with many surprising revelations, both dark and light. Let me get another caller on. We go to Napa and Linnea. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling to recommend two books for parents who are taking kids on long car trips. Both are out on audiobook now. The first one is Frog Kisser by Garth Nix. It's a great one for parents who maybe have kids who are in the princess thing but want a more empowered princess. And then the other one is a little bit more maybe older, kind of middle school. It's called Beauty Queens. I believe it's by Libba Bray. And it is the most hilarious audiobook I have ever listened to in my life. And I've listened to a lot of audiobooks.
Well, thank you so much for those. That's Linnea from Napa. And we're now going to welcome another bookseller. Cheryl McYone is the manager of Book Passage Bookstores with locations in both Marin and San Francisco. Welcome, Cheryl McYone.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. And let's find out what they're recommending these days at Book Passage. Coming straight from Elaine Petrocelli?
Well, Elaine did give me a few tips, ideas on what to include. We talk a lot among the staff here and get ideas from each other since we try to read them all. But, of course, we can't. So one of the things that Elaine is very excited about right now is the new Janet Fitch novel. And it is the sequel to The Revolution of Marina M. The title of her new one is Chimes of a Lost Cathedral. And we think of this as something for the person who read A Gentleman in Moscow and says, oh, I'm sorry it had to end. Because in this book, it's a female protagonist, and Marina is immersed in Red October, St. Petersburg, the intellectuals, the Bolshevik Revolution. It starts in 1919. So The Chimes of a Lost Cathedral is coming out July 2nd. It's not here yet.
Well, I see a lot of novels being recommended from Book Passage, and let's face it, the greatest readership right now in the United States and here in the Bay Area of novels are women, and We have a lot of women turning out some really damn good novels. Huh?
Indeed. Indeed. We would agree. Sometimes I'll start a list, and I'll realize that everybody on it is a woman, and it's not intended. In fact, I'm looking at my list now and thinking, guilty as charged today.
Well, let me ask you about a couple of those. High Season, okay. I think, is on your list, isn't it?
It is.
And Ask Again, Yes. Can we talk about those two quickly?
Absolutely. A couple of the things to recommend High Season are, it's now in paperback. It came out in hardcover a year ago, so it's a good carry-along.
I should mention book. The author is Judy Blundell.
And it's Judy Blundell, and Judy Blundell is very well-known and appreciated as an author of kids' books. So this is, I think, her very first adult novel. It takes place on Long Island, and it really captures the island. You don't have to have experienced Long Island to appreciate it, but it could be any geographic situation in which there is a social strata, the haves versus the don't. And in this book, the protagonist works at a museum, which, of course, employs a board of the haves. And it's one summer, and what takes place in the museum and the politics of the museum. There are artists, of course, come in and out, and it's also a story of a marriage.
And Ask Again Yes, which I just mentioned?
Ask Again Yes by Mary Beth Keane. Mary Beth Keane was the author of Fever, which was very well known, the story of, although I hate to say it now, Typhoid Mary. I learned from reading Fever not to say Typhoid Mary because it's such an insult to her. But Ask Again Yes is a lovely story of two neighboring families. It's a suburban town. It's north of New York City. And it starts when two young couples move in side by side and the husbands work together. So the families are very close. The two of the children in the families become very close friends as well. As kids, you know, they're just pals. But then it evolves as they grow. And a horrible tragedy occurs, which affects both of the families deeply. And I don't want to spoil it at all, but the all of the members of the family, of course, have to deal with the fallout from this tragedy, but it particularly focuses upon the now man and woman who were the kids who were good friends at the beginning. It's a great story of the suburbs and of actually multi-generational, the effects of incidents on many generations.
Yeah, you do a really good job, Cheryl, of giving a summation without giving too much of the plot away. And it's so hard to talk about a novel in a cogent way because there's so much in the novels that are all over the map sometimes and that are really quite rich. We talked with, in fact, Amor Toll yesterday, we're talking just about the expansiveness and capacious nature of the genre. I'm reading a couple more recommendations. You'll stay with us through the break, I hope.
Yes, indeed.
And we'll take some more calls. But here's Parker, who writes, this is from 2018, but Motherhood by Sheila Hetty is by far the best book I've read this year, a potent mix of both philosophical inquiry into the pressures and pleasures of femininity today and an honest reckoning with and celebration of the human condition in the digital age. I could not put this book down. Marjorie writes, the book I read in the past year, which I recommend most strongly, is Tommy Orange's There, There. And we featured that on Forum. It's a novel, as this listener Marjorie says, which tells stories of Native Americans in Oakland. It's a novel which has received a great deal of acclaim. And let me again invite you to join us in this hour about books to read this summer. Best book you've read this summer? I want to hear from you. You can email forum@kqed.org or put it on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment. We'll continue with our guest, and we'll also hear from somebody down in the South Bay, a bookseller there as well. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum, and we are at KQED Radio. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about books to read this summer, getting recommendations from listeners and booksellers. And let's go to Jim and Anderson. Jim, you're on.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Thank you for taking my call here. My book this year is Losing Earth by Nathaniel Rich. Anybody who wants to get up to speed on what's happened with climate change, you know, in terms of how we've been dealing with it, he starts from the 70s and moves right through to current times of how, you know, the fossil fuel industry has developed its disinformation campaign to maintain profits. He talks about the heroes and the villains through the ages. He's done a fabulous job here. A lot of research and chronicling with names and dates and times. And I find it highly informative to see how we've gotten into the climate crisis situation as a human civilization. He lays it out pretty fast, and anybody who wants to get up to speed fast, it's a great book.
Well, thank you for that recommendation. Indeed, it sounds like an important book, and I appreciate hearing from you, Jim. We're going to go to another caller, get another recommendation from Betty up in Sonoma. Betty, you're on. Morning.
Good morning. I am talking right now about a book from a new author, actually, and the book is called Jump on the Love Train, and it's by author Ray Lewis, who is a registered nurse who went to Cusco, Peru, just on a vacation 31 years ago and was so touched by the children living on the streets that she decided to form an emergency shelter for these children. And the project has gone on for 31 years. And 15 years ago, it actually went to a to form a girls' school for indigenous girls in Cusco.
And that's in Peru, right, Betty?
It's in Cusco, Peru. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. And it's her journey through this process of 31 years, wanting to do something for children of Peru, and now the girl child, who we know when women are educated that they're less likely to abandon their children, they're more likely to be working, be able to support their families. And she has kept this through a tremendous amount of work. She has kept this project going for 31 years.
Well, you sound really inspired by this book, Jump on the Love Train, huh?
It's called Jump on the Love Train, and the project is called Chukuchas Wasi.
And the author, again, is Ray Lewis, R-A-E?
Ray Lewis. Yeah. Ray, R-A-E, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. And it's a fabulous read, and she's done some wonderful work in her journey to make the world a better place.
Well, thank you so much for that recommendation. That's Betty in Sonoma. And let me go back for just a moment to you, Cheryl McKeown. Okay. Cheryl McKeown is manager of Book Passage, which has bookstores in Marin County and at the ferry terminal in San Francisco. And I think coming up at the ferry building on July 20th is a writer by the name of Erica Baumeister, author of The Secret Keeper. Tell us about that book.
Right. It's The Scent Keeper.
Oh, I'm sorry, The Scent Keeper.
As in aromas. That's okay. And Erica has written about food. Her two previous novels were about cooking schools, and she's very sensuous in the things that she writes about. And she had done a lot of research on scents and the way people react to scents and the way they're created. So in this story, it's a coming-of-age story, actually, of a little girl who lives in seclusion on an island in the Pacific Northwest, she and her dad, and their life is full of they forage. She gives wonderful descriptions of the scents and the aromas and the natural environment. And something happens, and the girl eventually ends up back in the city. And she becomes part of the scent industry, in which you go into a store, and for some reason you really love being there. And actually it's a scent that was specially created for that store. So it's really, it's a wonderful story of family again, but also of the way scent influences our lives. She's going to be here July 20th at 2 o'clock. It's a Saturday afternoon, so we're going to gather flowers and herbs and spices from the market and have a little bit of a demo when she talks about her novel.
That's going to smell very good, huh?
It will. It'll be wonderful.
And here's Corey, who writes, I read Circe by Madeline Miller recently and was so moved by Miss Miller's reinterpretation of the Greek goddess. It tells the story of her life from her own perspective. It's very well written and overall pleasurable to read. Lawrence writes, best book I've read in a long time is a nonfiction book called Rise and Kill First, The Secret History of Israel's Targeted Assassinations by Ronan Bergman, the true story of Israel's intelligence community struggle from the 1950s to today. It chronicles various characters throughout the history of the state of Israel and how they deal with rising terrorism. Unfortunately, the underlying lesson is revenge begets revenge and violence begets violence. Let me get another caller on here, and that's Brian in Mountain View. Welcome.
Thank you. I want to recommend my Murder in Bel-Air. It's on Soho Press by Cara Black, and it's her 20th anniversary. She's been on your show before.
Yes, she has.
And yeah, this book takes place in Bel Air this time. And I just started it. It came out yesterday in Books, Inc. And she's celebrating the 20th anniversary. And I just started it. But she's really descriptive in the colors. I mean, you can really feel and smell. where she's at in Paris. And if you visited Paris before, a lot of her books deal with retro back in the 90s, you know, when we had dial-in phones and things were a little bit different back then. So it really brings you back to a different genre and what's going on with France and the history there. So thanks for having me on, and good luck, Kara, with your new book, Murder in Bel-Air.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. It's nice to hear local mystery writers like Kara Black and Jacqueline Winspear getting props here on this hour. And in fact, Book Passage is known for having almost every year these mystery writers conferences. I'm interested, in fact, Cheryl, in asking you before we say goodbye to you, you have noticed a difference in the clientele that comes to Marin as opposed to the clientele that comes to the Ferry Building?
I hardly ever leave the Ferry Building except to go home. I don't spend a lot of time in Marin, but just looking at the books that we carry.
Yeah, that's what I was asking
about. Yes, we have, of course, a lot of travelers, a lot of tourists from all over the world. And so I think that what we sell reflects their interests. We have a lot of people who are about to get on an airplane or a cruise. And so we, especially in the summer, we really have a lot more paperbacks, and we try to have we don't have anything that's fluffy. What I always say to people, they say, I want something light for my travels. And I say, well, we can give you something entertaining, but it probably won't be fluffy. And they laugh, and they usually appreciate the fact that we've chosen something which is both portable and worth reading, you know, a worthwhile book. So I'd say that our clientele really does reflect what we sell. And then we are in the financial district, so we have a lot of interest in political books, social science, which is more reflective of the people who live here.
Cheryl McKeown, good to have you with us on Forum this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. It was delightful. Take care.
Cheryl McKeown, manager of Book Passage. And let me get some more of our listener recommendations. Let me go next to Danville. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. It's Michael Barnard at Rakestraw Books.
Ah,
and I'm calling
welcome.
To recommend Rules for Visiting by Jessica Frances Kane.
And you are recommending it because?
Main character, who's about 40, May, is feeling a little disconnected from herself and her life, and she receives the unexpected gift of time off, and she uses it to reconnect with four friends and in the process rediscover herself.
Well, I hope some people can
reassuring and kind.
I like your bookstore, as you know, so I hope some people out there can discover it in Danville if they haven't, or rediscover it. And thank you for joining us. Let me get another caller on, and that's Phil. Phil, join us.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
John Dean in 2003 wrote an essay about the best book on the presidency, and he recommends six books, and the fifth one, he said, yet of all these works are trumped by George Reedy's classic, The Twilight of the Presidency,
yes.
An examination of the power and isolation in the White House. And the reason I like it is because he points out how isolated presidents often are, and they are covered by yes people, and let's see what the other part is. George Reed wrote this, and he wrote another one called Lyndon Baines Johnson's A Memoir. Reedy had been an assistant to Johnson from 1951 and became his press secretary in 1964 and rejoined the administration in the last year of 1968. So all of his works give a clear indication of the problems of the presidency. And in the last chapter of The Twilight of the Presidency, he has a chapter entitled It Could Happen, and it precisely defines the Trump administration.
Wow. Well, I thank you for that, Phil, and appreciate your call. And let me read a few that are coming in here. Charles writes, Alex Kershaw's The First Wave, the D-Day Warriors, who led the way to victory in World War II. The book vividly depicted history as you follow the troops ashore onto the beaches of D-Day. Thomas writes, I'm reading Madame Fourcade's Secret War, The Daring Young Woman Who Led France's Largest Spy Network Against Hitler by Lynn Olson. Tells a story about the woman who ran the largest spy network in Europe during World War II, a great read so far, and an eye-opener for anyone not familiar with the contributions of women in that war, which historians have completely ignored until now. Let me bring on Lee Odom. Lee Odom is a co-owner of Lee's Favorite Books. It's a bookstore located in Sunnyvale down in the South Bay, and welcome to the program, Lee Odom.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Well, we've been talking about recommending books and how many of them, particularly novels, seem to be about women. Many of yours, or the most of yours, are as well.
They are, yeah. One that I recently read that was kind of a Margaret Atwood-style novel was Woman Talking by Marion Toews. That was one that just blew me away, and it felt like the dystopia of The Handmaid's Tale, but it's based on a true story of a Mennonite community in South America. That's a fairly recent book in hardcover. I've also been reading books on gender issues. This is one that's been out for a few years, but it takes place in Oakland. It's called The 57 Bus by Joshka Slater. And that is a book that I felt like the author told two sides of a story with compassion. The story was so relevant to what we're going through in our culture right now.
It's a very compelling book, and I would like to also echo your recommendation. The author was on. We spent time talking about the book with her on the air here, so it's in our archives. I like to let people know that they can avail themselves of a number of the books that are featured on this program in the archives. You also mentioned Normal People by Sally Rooney, which has gotten a lot of really strong acclaim.
She is such a strong writer. She could write about eating toast and it would be compelling. She has such a great way of bringing these characters to life. They're about millennials, which I am not. And I felt that I had this real understanding of these characters and the struggles they were going through and feeling not normal. A beautiful book, beautifully written.
And we'll get someone of the male persuasion in here, David Sedaris' Calypso. It's out today, in fact, isn't it?
It is.
And paperback, yeah.
I mean, I always love David Sedaris. If you're a David Sedaris fan, it's really great to see him mature. He's getting older. He's thinking more about his mortality and dealing with aging parents and siblings and his beach house that he buys and trying to get his family together. And it's, of course, it's filled with wonderful and hilarious observations, but at times he sneaks in some poignant thoughts and you find yourself thinking more about your own mortality and aging. And I was really impressed with how he's grown and changed as an author.
Lee Odom is with us, co-owner of Lee's Favorite Books in Sunnyvale. Here's Steve, who writes, I wholeheartedly recommend Shoshana Zuboff's The Age of Surveillance Capitalism, The Fight for a Human Future at the New Frontier of Power. That's another book that we featured on Forum that's in our archives. And Steve adds, it is a must-read for those who are concerned with the existential threat to human autonomy imposed by tech firms. Let me bring some more of your callers on. We go to Fremont. Brendan, you're on.
Hi, yeah. I wanted to put in a recommendation. I haven't been hearing a lot of genre fiction. I find that it's great for summer reading. But Crown for Cold Silver by Alex Marshall. Basically, a group of veterans of a successful rebellion but failed subsequent regime decide to get the band back together and try again. I find it's very fun, a lot of diverse cast, and it's got a lot of funny moments in it.
Well, thank you, Brendan. Funny moments are always needed, and this list of books that we're giving you today will be, of course, on our website. You can access that after the program is over. Give it a few hours or so to take its place on the website at kqed.org. Here's a tweet from Bill who says, I finished Anthony Horowitz's just-published Daniel Hawthorne murder mystery, The Sentence is Death, a novel, at 1 a.m. this morning. It was published day before yesterday, and I was not able to put it down. If you like last year's The Word is Murder, buy this one ASAP. Lee Odom, let's go back to you. Let's talk about The Friend. It's on your list, Sigrid Nunez.
Oh, yeah, that's one. We're a dog-friendly store. We have dogs that come into the store on a regular basis, so we're all big fans of dogs, and that's one that I think three or four people in our crew have read and just absolutely adored. It's kind of a quirky, it's an offbeat novel, but you will be charmed by it. I highly recommend that.
And a listener named Joan says, The Madonnas of Leningrad by Deborah Dean, a fascinating story of people living in the basement of the Hermitage during World War II, which ends in the U.S. in the early 21st century. Fantastic and unusual book. You know it, Lee?
I have not read that, but that's one of those books that customers come in after purchasing it and rave about. It's supposed to be really good.
Do you keep those customer raves on the shelves? You put any of them on the shelves?
We do. We also we have our own staff recommendations throughout the store, and then we make recommendations based on what we've heard from our customers.
Well, we'll hear some more recommendations from our listeners. We'll go to Oakland and welcome Nathan. Nathan, you're on Forum.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me. My recommendation is Bottled Lightning, subtitle Batteries, Super Batteries, Electric Cars, and the New Lithium Economy by Seth Fletcher. It's a really in-depth look about, you know, where batteries come from and what they're doing to power everything. And yeah, it's just, it's really amazing about how everything has basically changed in the past, you know, 30 years with, you know, cell phone technology and where we're going with cars. I know Tesla, of course, is a big one that actually talks about the history there.
And you found the book, I'm sorry, I can't resist this. You found the book Electrical from the sounds of it, huh?
Very much so, actually. Yeah, it's a very good read, very engaging. And yeah, I've learned quite a lot. Everything from how batteries came about to, you know, how decisions were made by GM. And yeah, it's a very fun read. Highly, highly recommend it.
All right, Nathan, you wouldn't think a battery book would be all that much fun, but Nathan says it is. And here's Susan, who writes, it's been out for a while, but I just got around to reading Where the Crawdads Sing, and unlike many recommended books, so worth the hype. Let's hear from more of our listeners. Let me go to San Jose and welcome Anthony. You're on the air.
Hello, Michael. The book I'd like to recommend is My Brother's Husband by Jengori Tagami. It's a manga book, which surprised me because it's not my usual genre. In fact, it's, I think, the first manga book I've ever read. But I read it right after Kate Atkinson's transcription, a very different book. But it's I guess you would call it a graphic novel. And it's basically the story of a young Japanese single parent who's raising his 9 or 10-year-old daughter. He's recently divorced. And one day, his doorbell rings, and there's a large Western-looking man on his doorstep who declares himself to be the widower of the Japanese man's estranged gay twin. So this Japanese man, who has no real exposure to gay people, is suddenly confronted with a brother-in-law. And the story is really propelled along by the daughter, who, through her innocence and her questioning and her love for her new uncle, reveals the stresses in Japanese society and the difficulty they have in dealing with gayness, homosexuality. And there's even a bit about the relationship between the divorced couple. It's surprisingly emotionally nuanced, and the nuance comes from not only the text bubbles, but from the excellent, excellent drawing.
And you're doing a pretty excellent review here, Anthony. I should say I read a very favorable review of that book, My Brother's Husband, a manga book, and thank you for bringing it to our attention here on Forum. I appreciate that, and I'm also inclined to go back to our bookseller, Lee Odom, and ask about a book that I just read about from a listener, Where the Crawdads Sing. That's a bestseller in your bookstore. It's on your list.
It continues to be our bestseller, and it was a great read. If you're looking for a bit of romance, beautiful nature writing, the author's actually a nature writer or science writer, there's a courtroom drama, mystery, just it'll just take you away into this world in South Carolina on the coast, and it's a great read.
And we'll find out about some more great reads. I should mention Amor Towns, who was just on with us yesterday from our live broadcast in East Oakland and whom I interviewed on stage last night at the North Theater. It's, I think, more than worthwhile if you read A Gentleman in Moscow or any of his books that are and now available in paperback. Let me get another caller on here. Sam is next. Sam, you're on. Hi.
Hi. The book I'd like to recommend is The Tao Te Ching, and it is a great translation by Arthur Whaley.
And what do you love about it?
It's just beautiful. You know, it's like a lot of great poetry and philosophy. You might not remember exactly, but it just gives you that emotion and brings tears to your eyes. And you can really see, you know, it really rings true.
All right, Ringing True is a good thing to recommend. Thank you for that, Sam. And I want to go right to another caller who has a poetry book for us. Steve, hi.
Hi. I wanted to recommend two books by Ada Limone. She is a poet who grew up in the town of Sonoma. I teach poetry there for the junior college in their older adult program. And she grew up above Reader's Books. She was their first employee at the age of 15, and she now has authored Bright Dead Things, which was a finalist for the National Book Award in 2015. And her latest book is called The Carrying, and it won the National Book Critics Circles Award. So you hadn't had any poetry mentioned today, and I thought I would give her a plug.
I'm so glad you mentioned that book. I've read some of the poems in in both her books and was duly impressed, and hope we're going to arrange to maybe have her on the program. And I'm glad you brought up a poetry book. Thank you so much for that, Steve. Here's Anne, who writes Heartland, a memoir of working hard and being broke in the richest country on earth, hardcover, released September 18, 2018 by Sarah Smarsh. The book from Flyover Country is from a young woman growing up in poverty in rural Kansas, where bad decisions by women can change their future. It is an interesting perspective, as many state legislatures seek to restrict reproductive options for women. And Lynn says, Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles, best book in a really long time, superb language, wonderful structure, thoroughly developed characters. Is that book still selling, Leonum?
It is. It's one of my personal favorites, too. I just got lost in that world in that hotel in Moscow, and it's still a bestseller in our store. We also still sell copies of Bad Blood. That's a book that it's nonfiction. I know you've covered it on your show, but that is a book that really struck home with a lot of our customers. They either knew people that worked for Theranos or somehow had a relationship with someone involved in that business, and it's one that really hit home. He did a great job of telling that story of that company.
You also expressed some real admiration and certainly enthusiasm about a book called An American Marriage by Yari Jones.
That was such a personal, that author, Yari Jones, wrote such a personal story, but she also tells a story of imprisonment here. She tells us a love story that's broken apart by a man that's falsely accused of murder and serves time in prison, and what happens to that marriage. It really brought home how something like that would affect your life, and I highly recommend it. She's a wonderful writer.
Well, Leonum, thank you for your recommendations, and appreciate your being on with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Leonum, again, is co-owner of Lee's Favorite Books, bookstore located in Sunnyvale in the South Bay. And let me read a tweet from Lorraine who says, Fight Like a Mother, How a Grassroots Movement Took on the Gun Lobby and Why Women Will Change the World by Shannon Watts, a must-read for everyone about the gun violence prevention movement. Here's Elav, in San Jose. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on call. So I want to recommend a book called Gandhi Before India. It's basically part of two-volume biography about Mr. Gandhi, and it gives a very interesting perspective of his life before he started revolution in India and how a simple living man who wanted to just practice law changed a lot of things and helps Indians living in South Africa and part of the South African Revolution for Indians' rights, as well as his life in London while he was studying law and how he was a vegetarian all his life, so how he coped up with that environment. So that's a very inspiring book for me, and it was a very interesting book and gives an interesting perspective on his life before India's revolution started.
Well, he was a hero in terms of his actions in South Africa, for example, against apartheid. And that life before India must be really fascinating to read, especially, I take it, you're from India.
Yep, I am, and I really liked his actions, how he basically chose his destiny while practicing law. He just wanted to earn money while he was in South Africa, but eventually his destiny became to free up democracy revolution in India.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I'll plug another good book on Gandhi, which we featured on Forum a number of years ago by Lelyveld, the former New York Times New York Times executive editor, who did, I thought, a really fine biography of Gandhi. Renee writes, Monday's Not Coming is a devastating young adult mystery about a young girl who seems to be the only one who cares that her best friend has been absent and who bumps up against adult excuses and incompetence. The novel asks who is responsible for children and how institutions and adults can fail them. And Dina writes, I recommend Queer, a graphic history by Meg John Barker. Dense with philosophy and theory, the author challenges us to rethink how we order our lives by binary definitions. It inspired me, a cisgender straight woman. And let's get a quick call on from Bolinas. Ilka, welcome.
Hi. I wanted to recommend a book that just came out in the last 2 days. It's called No Greater Love, How My Family Survived the Genocide in Rwanda, Africa, by Sassis Seminega, S-E-M-I-N-E-G-A. And a family of about 5 people were protected and rescued by the Hutu tribe, which was the tribe that committed the genocide in Rwanda. It's an incredible story, and the writer has worked on it for 25 years, and it came out for the anniversary of the 25th year since the genocide.
Sounds like a very important book. Ilka, thank you for that recommendation, and thanks to all our listeners for your recommendations, which we are much obliged and thankful for, and they will be up on our website, and we'll continue to think about what to read, and I hope you will indeed avail yourself of this program. Thanks to all of you who made recommendations again. And somebody was going to say, read the Mueller report. I'd echo that. Thank you for listening. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.